Blog Talk Radio.
Once again, another breakneck pace to begin the show. This is Dr. Mark Filippi, and this is Nick and Summer's Riff on This, joined ably by Professor Val, high atop the mountains in Patterson, or well, I guess it's Brewster, New York.
Yeah, one or the other.
Kind of riding slow here on a Philo Wednesday. Holy crap. Welcome to the show. Oh, boy. Let's see. What can we start with today? How about where's Waldo? Do we expect the Jeps to make an appearance tonight?
I assume so.
It is his Philo week. It is his week to appear. I don't know. To accentuate the Philo-ness of the Philo-ness.
Hey, we have a caller here.
No.
No way. We haven't had a caller in months. All right,
we got one.
We got a caller. Oh, all right. Well, I don't know. Let's see. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, it's Susanna.
Hi, Anna.
Susanna.
Hi, Professor Val.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm bored at work. How about you guys?
We just got to work.
Oh, yeah. I've been at the same place since 8:30, yeah. This morning.
Well, do you have a question, comment, or just
yes.
calling to send us, we could send the paramedics.
Actually, I have a little bone to pick with you.
Bone.
Yes.
Bone
quite
away.
A big bone.
Quite a big bone.
Yeah.
Okay. Just be gentle. Go ahead.
Okay. So I sent you pictures of my boyfriend and his twin like 10 years ago.
We talked about it at the school, though.
I know. I never got it, though. And then you said you'd resend it, and then I never got it.
Well, I did resend it. I will resend again.
Okay.
Resendamente.
Okay.
You have a lot of fun anyway.
Just send the twins over here. We'll have a beer with them.
Ah, I wish. They're actually coming in November.
Oh, all right.
Yes. Well, that should be fun.
Alert the neighbors. I don't know what to tell you. But
twins are coming to Manhattanville. I'm very excited.
Neat.
So how did you know?
Well, I'll be there.
How did you know to call the show to get a hold of us? That's pretty funny.
How did I what?
How did you know to call the show to get a hold of us?
I was talking to Professor Val online, and she told me to call and pick a bone with you on the phone.
Oh, all right. This is a
yeah,
prank
that
call.
That was her doing. I blame her.
All right. Well, I'm blown away anytime we get a call on the show because we have archiver people that listen in the dark, and eat leftovers, and people. The live callers are usually pretty quiet.
Oh, I'm not quiet.
Yeah, it's kind of
okay.
Weird.
No.
Yeah, you're never quiet. Though,
yeah. So yeah, you don't have to worry about the quietness with me. That's a no-no
right.
For
well,
me.
Well, I will hunt down your email and resend as soon as I find it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Alrighty.
Are you behaving?
Satellite.
Huh?
She's behaving. Come
Are you
on.
Behaving over there?
Oh, of course. All I do is work. I feel like I'm not even enjoying my summer.
She's been working 12 hours.
Join the party on that one.
Yeah, she's got the summertime blues.
Yeah, I work every day.
Something tells me your weekends are more exciting than ours. Just
oh, no, no. I hang out with a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old.
All right. Well.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You win. You win the crappy weekend award.
Yeah, and they fight with me over, like, bath time and stuff. I want to shoot my head. Okay,
wow. All right, we have a suicidal watch out on you.
All right, thank you.
Have a good final time.
See ya.
So thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. She swims away. Okay.
Yes, she does.
She's out of there. I like that.
Oh, this rant forum is filling up here.
Really? Oh, yeah. When we get the address of that at the outset of the show, we had a crazy idea this week because we've been really scraping the inside of our craniums to figure out just what is our audience? Because this show is sort of just a frisbee to the moon, literally. And, we do understand that you guys are listening to the thing. I don't know what, I didn't check last week's stats, but, we're getting, somewhere between 30 and 70 people.
Last week I think it was a little low. It was like 40.
Okay. We've been as high as just under 100, I think, on some of these shows.
Yeah, we've been up there.
Yeah, people have been listening just a little bit. we don't know who you are, we don't know where you are, but we figured that we go to where our energy is, and mostly that's into venting. So Professor Val put together a site called flawedspouse.com. That's F-A-L-W-E-D, spouse.com. And it's a free site. You go up there and you just basically vent away at the people that are gnawing on your last nerve. And you were saying there's some more activity today, or?
Yeah, I'm looking now. There were some things on there that I hadn't seen earlier.
Wow, yeah, cool.
Pretty funny.
All right, well, we just had a plant call. But if a real call would like to come in and quiz us on our knowledge of universal semantics and whatnot, it is 646-478-4847. Oh,
hey,
there he is. All right, we have to have a stork report because we're getting a little tired of this. She's got to have the babies. So,
we're saying the same thing.
Where do we stand?
Week
38.
Yeah, we're in the 38th week.
Nothing doing.
And she's doing well. She's about ready. I mean,
Well, we've been ready for a month.
Tray tables are up, and seat backs are in the upright positions, and seat belts are on. But we're all.
Is she moving slow? Or is she just
asking ourselves the same question?
Well, babies will show when they show. But boy, twins. She holds those things 2 more weeks. She's got to get some kind of medal just for carrying them, let alone raising them.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's always like that. That moment.
And
having only been through this twice, you've been through this many more times than me, this is the point where the man is basically in a no-win situation because he had the stance. See, that was almost an eco, ugh, there, I got out of here. You're dealing with a hormonal tornado in the mother, and then of course once the babies are born and the families descend and there's all that just aftermath, let's just call it, and the woman's brain turns to the size of a raisin right after the birth, and she's gone. You'll see her again like Thanksgiving maybe, when she comes back and gets her wits about her again, especially after the summer she's had. So that postpartum point is really for the man to figure out how to clone himself. That's pretty much what I figured out. Both my kids were born in January in piles of snow and all kinds of circumstances, so it was 2 winters of my discontent in a row, 95 and 96, and I'm still recovering from both of those.
Get away from me.
But fatherhood is, like a drug of choice at a certain point. You just go, okay, what's one more? I'm already an addict. Okay, good. They don't give you a way out.
But and like you said, it's that at the point being, sort of rock and hard place is where we are, because it's really a no-win. And it's a no-win from, in one standpoint, sort of the humorous side of it is you can't, she's about had it, and but there's really no being in my position or any of our positions, we have nothing to compare it to. So
no, I used to complain.
That,
yeah, I used to try to use the root canal excuse. It's like root canal, only in your pelvis. No, it's not. Even close. Yeah, there's no way to have sympathy for it. But I did get sympathy pain, only it was in my back pocket, where my wallet was. Because having 2 kids in January, your deductibles kick in. So,
Your luck.
It was perfect. And of course, Sarah was 11 days late and born on New Year's Day. So she was very expensive to get out of the hospital. So I get to check her out and I go, Mr. Willoughby, that'll be just pay this bill here. It's like $1,300 to walk out of the hospital with my kid. So that's just neither here nor there, isn't it? Wow. All right, so I am currently futzing around here on the site. We started out the program a little bit, introducing some new tools for the audience to partake in. We talked about flawedspouse.com. And new this afternoon, for your viewing pleasure, Professor Val has added a store to her SomaSpaceCoaching.com site, so that you guys can now not only just sit and chat with her idly on the SomaSpace.org site to ask her questions, but you can actually get some care in the air. So that is over there. You like that, huh? Care in the air.
That's good.
I heard before the pitching coach talking about managing the damage. Manage the damage. I mean, this is cool. That's up there for you guys now. You can go check that out on SomaSpaceCoaching.com. The site is up and running, and the store is up and running, so there's some options for you there to start learning how to use these tools personally and making them an everyday part of your life, because they're there whether you notice them or not. It's kind of, you know, might as well notice them. So, let's see.
Yeah, you know, technology is really changing a lot, because I was able to get that entire thing done in like 25 minutes.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was there when she was doing it on the phone, and just in stunned disbelief at how, like a hot knife, like a hot eco through butter, she was just coursing through the system. And one quick phone call, and it gave her a little one of those. It's kind of like when you pay your Verizon bill and you owe them money, and they go, the phone will go back on in 8 to 48 hours, and it's like 5 minutes later it's working just to cover their butt. Literally within the time it took to complain, the site was up again. So now it's all set to go. And yeah, that was really kind of funky. But you know, GoDaddy and this new PayPal thing we found out about, that looked pretty good. It's all set to go. So you guys can vent for free, and then if you really want to get to the core of your issues, you can pay her a little dough, and she will chat you up a storm. All right.
Right.
So
what's the fee on that, Val?
What's that?
What's the fee on that?
It's a short session, a 20-minute session is $30, and a 40-minute session is $50. And then there's this little email thingy that you can do where you email back and forth a few times for $20.
Hmm.
Wow, that's a bargain.
Yeah, it's affordable.
How expensive are your problems? They're more than 20 bucks. So anyway.
I like that email option. It's nice because a lot of times you don't want to be – You can't hash it all out. You can't think about it. Like when I go to talk to my therapist, I'd walk in and be like, "So how's it going?" And I'm like, "You know, it's going fine." And then he'd be shooting the breeze, and like halfway through the session, we'd be talking about, you know, like the Red Sox. And it's like, I'm paying for this, and I'm wanting to get something out of this, and I can talk to Filippi about baseball. But
that's for sure.
You know, so I like the idea of being able to sort of. Shooting now, when they're shooting emails back and forth, is it like I got a certain amount of time, or do I get 10 emails, or do I get a month of it, or for $20? Well, how do I work that?
Well, you send your first email, which should be long and include all the issues or whatever, and then I respond to that, and then you email me again for clarification or for any other things that may come up from that, because you know the first shot. You miss things a lot of times. And then I respond back again, and that's pretty much it. If something else happens to come up, I'm not going to say, I'm sorry, I can't email you the third time. But that'll be quite a bit, actually. It'll take a little bit of time to go back and forth, and hopefully it'll solve a problem or two. I just got an email now from my oldest friend. She's on vacation in Peru, and she just had an earthquake. The Richter scale was at 7.7, and she crapped her pants almost. So.
Well, there you go.
I don't have to respond to that one.
No, because there are this random trauma all over the world.
Yes.
Only 7 continents.
So if I wanted to, do like a year's worth of emails, would it be like 150 grand for like a year's worth?
I'd work something out.
Yeah,
you always work something out.
Yeah, chain it to the desk.
Oh God. Chained here anyway.
Well, exactly. What's the difference?
That's right.
Well, just as an aside, if you are an exo closet listener of the program, email is your communication forte as it comes to therapy, because from first-hand experience of doing phone coaching with exos, that awkward silence could fill up about three-quarters of the hour. You ask a question like, you know, so what's going on inside your world? And it's cricket, kind of stumps the band over there. So the XO has the option of doing the email, as does just pretty much any human being with a check and a neck. So let's see.
And it could be like over the course of days, right? Like I could shoot you an email,
sure.
And then I could get it back, and then I could think about it for a while.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice option. That's a very
yeah,
nice
I like
option.
That.
I know what I was looking
yeah.
for. All right. So we're going to slowly. Let me just make sure this doesn't scream at me. Okay. Let this just run. Kind of paddle our way over to this week's focus, this week's Soma Star, which is Michael Port. And if those of you who haven't heard of the guy, we got a little profile of him on the nakedsoma.blogspot.com. And the reason why we're picking him, because he's kind of a ground apple philo for us, is that we aspire, as the three of us, to achieve some of the things he's achieved, because he was in the same shoes that we are trying to get out of. We're sort of changing shoes, like that moment in Mr. Rogers when he changes from his shoes to his slippers.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, should be my neighbor. Cute. Yeah. And and he's been able to make the transition from a bricks and mortar operator who was commuting from New York City to the Delaware Water Gap on a daily basis to take care of the fitness centers he was managing and coaching along business-wise, doing marketing work for them, while he was still a soap opera actor in New York City. Imagine that moment chance he had to pull off. And you know, pretty much, very much as a sort of a brother from another mother to Irving Dardick down there in the Batcave in New Jersey, the apartment in New York City was, you know, something like $2,300 a month, and it was like a sink and a couch, and it was like he lived in a dumpster, practically, and in order to afford himself the opportunity to feed his acting career, which, you know, it's easy to get wrapped up in that idealistic model of you're going to be the one, and he did accumulate a certain amount of credibility in that community, but he realized, very much similar to Seth Godin in The Dip, that if you're not going to be the best at something, if you're not going to be able to get from the middle of the pack to the top of the hill, you should quit before you start. And so what he felt was is that, you know, he wanted to get, he knew how to market things, and he knew he was running these centers, and he just figured out a way that the Internet was rapidly changing, especially in the last 3 years. If you go back towards, you know, before, you know, 2003, 2002, you didn't have cable, you didn't have all these things that happen now, and even things like we were talking about just a minute ago with what Val was able to do this afternoon on her site. These things were not templated out very cleanly, so you know, you didn't have near the flexibility that you do now to get things done on your you know, pretty much on an ensemble basis and be a solopreneur, as they like to say in that cybernetic business world. And so Port decided he was going to put together a system, and he was, you know, just similar to, like, you know, when I first got in chiropractic, there was these local mastermind groups, and I would drive, like, over the Tappan Zee Bridge over here, which is about 15, 20 miles away, and I'd sit in the room with a bunch of other guys that are just like me, they just got out of school, and they have, you know, $150,000, $200,000 of school loans and overhead to deal with, and they've got maybe their first kid, and they're trying to pay their mortgage, and they're sitting around going, oh, we're going to get new patients. So it's like, you know, we'll do a food drive, but we'll do this.
Yeah,
that
sounds like a great career. That sounds like a
yeah.
great career choice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you right now. I always think of this, too, because I think it was the last year I was in chiropractic college. Somebody found, like, one of those old movie tone things. Of the last phrenology office closed, you know, somewhere in Champaign, Illinois, or something like that. You know, it was like a historical thing. And today the last phrenologist hung up his shingle as that quack science was put to death. But, you know, it was like, you know, it really was, what was phrenology was reading bumps on the head, right, to figure out what your personality traits were. And now, of course, it's funny because they've mapped the brain, you know, with all these different things now. So it isn't like phrenology, but it's like pretty much the same kind of a thing where different parts of the brain are related to different behaviors. So now they're doing it on the inside of your head, which, you know, psychologists are wont to do. So there was the mindset of, like, you know, what happened when there was, like, 10 of them left? They had to have some kind of mastermind. We need to get the, you know, we got to go to a mall. And we got I always felt that with the waning years of chiropractic that you know, as all these guys were graduating in the 90s and setting up shop within 20 minutes of each other, wondering why the market was dwindling. It's like because everybody was so vanilla and everybody was so afraid of doing anything different than anybody else. And then, of course, I'd be the last one to the meeting. I'd be the last you know, guy to kind of get into the flow of the thing. And I wasn't doing anything of what these guys were doing. And it was the funniest thing was I was like the sole survivor. All those guys either quit, left, or you know, got absorbed, and I was still mucking along. Well, I wasn't making a ton of money, but I was at least able to make myself distinct, which is part of the edict that I guess chiropractic fed me, was that you're separate and distinct. You're separate and distinct. And it was like, wait a minute, there's no isolation in this universe. What are they talking about? And it was much more of a head thing to make you feel different and special, you know, pretty much like they do in education. They go, you're the special kids, get on the short bus, and you're the gifted kids, get on the private bus, and all you middle muckety mucks, just kind of don't kill each other for 15 years and get a degree. And it was that divide and conquer mindset that kind of came to the internet when Port was trying to get his chops as a marketer, that there were literally like two or three sort of uber business guys, you know, that were on the web at that point, like a Tom Peters or someone like that. And then you'd see these other guys coming over that had left big companies like AOL, like a Seth Godin, and they were starting to share information. The guerrilla marketing guys came out. And then you see Port. And Port was, like I said, he was nothing special. He was a guy that was running a couple of gyms at Delaware Water Gap, for God's sakes. What the heck did he know? But he understood his philo-ness. He understood that he was a people person, which is, you know, in any industry, that's going to be where you want your sales force to be, is where you want your receptionist to be, a people person. I've had people work at my front desk that I wouldn't want admitting at a docking station for the police blotter. You know, I mean, I actually had a string of ontos at the front desk that were just, I mean, they protected me, but man, it was brutal to sometimes overhear some of those conversations. They were late, or they wanted to change their appointment, God forbid. It was kind of a, you know, even as an eco, kind of give you a little bit of the woolies, but sometimes you laughed in your sleeve, like, oh my God, that one deserved it, you know. Report, the difference with Port is that he knew that the future was all about streamlining people's efforts and not trying to create these huge monoliths that, I don't know about you, Jeb, but the model that I learned in Palmer was that you built up your practice to a certain level, and then you got a satellite clinic, which was the weirdest thing in the world. First, you got, of course, you got an associate. You got an associate and paid them dirt, and they did all the dirt work. They did the exams, and they basically would wash.
Yeah,
they did all the stuff you didn't want to do. Report a finding. Go report a finding. You do it. And I did that kind of partially while I was starting to build my practice in White Plains for a year. Hated every second of it, and would complain out loud to the client at sitting. I said, "Do you think this is the best we can do?" Huh? They never did. The client said, "What? You're asking me a question?" It was like I got in more trouble for asking clients questions that first year. And what I kept figuring out was if the whole idea of becoming a practitioner was to be an administrator, be a zookeeper, I didn't want to do it. So I watched a couple of people, you know, and it was all around here. The Spina clinics were all up and down the river here, and Orlander had a bunch of them. And you could just see them like McDonald's. Again, the same thing everywhere. And people started to get sick of it. And mid-90s, the insurance dried up, and pop, 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 go to satellite clinics, and pretty soon they're doing mall shows, and it was like right back to the phrenology thing. And it was this whole thing of how do you build a brand, you know, in 2005, 6, or 7, you don't do it necessarily only on the ground. You have to have some presence on the web in order to get your message to people that may resonate with it that don't happen to live in a 25-mile radius of your office. And that was just foreign country for any chiropractor I knew, you know, that was out there. And even when I was working with the biggies there at CLA, they were extremely tone-deaf to the web, even as recently as 2004. I mean, they still didn't understand what they were doing on the web is not what they did on the ground. It's a different environment. And that's what Port was able to tell us. He introduced the concept to us of a vertical market, which is a completely different angle than working on the ground where you take all comers and you try to feed them into your system You know, you do the exam and the consultation. You go, well, this is how I think I can help you. And, of course, you have your middle of your bell curve where you're going to help a lot of people. But then you have the fringe clients that are going to come in that are going to be, you know, a little bit of a stretch for you, or they're going to be sort of like, you know, you're going to be overqualified for the case, which hardly ever happens in chiropractic, but I'm sure it happens in other disciplines. So what he was able to do, and I'm going to play a little clip of his speech here in a minute, is get to the point where you boil down your business back to the personal relationship you're going to have with the client. So he stripped away, you know, a lot of the bromides and a lot of the filler that in the practice management guys in chiropractic would always do it too. And port, you know, he's not going to upset you with what he's going to say, but he's going to make you think. And I'm going to play about a minute and a half of this this little scene here in a second, see if you can get a glimpse of this Philo.
It's Philo.
Oh, it's totally Philo. Yeah, he's coming on here in a sec.
Said the ambassador of big thinking. I'm like, hey, look, Mark stole my line. Of course, Mark did not steal my line. It doesn't matter. The point is, there's more than one people in the world who stand for what you stand for. And that's the point. It moves us out of the competitive mindset. If what you stand for is going to serve other people, you want more people doing it. You want a revolution of people standing for what you stand for. Amen? But it has to be true. So, those who steal taglines, and that happens all the time, right? It's probably not true for them, so it doesn't matter, right? Yeah, I've seen people use it all the time, the guy to call when you're tired of thinking small. But if you're not the guy to, you know, the guy to call when you're tired of thinking small does not steal taglines. Right? It just doesn't work. But I don't care. The point is, it doesn't have to be so unique. A lot of the marketing experts will talk about, it's got to be so unique. You've heard this over and over, right? It's not about uniqueness. It's about resonance, truth, honesty, connection to the people that share that worldview. Does that make sense? Say yes if it does.
Okay. So that's a little snippet of a talk he gave at a kind of a bigger meeting about this marketing of the new thing. And the one thing that he doesn't say there that comes across is what the heck's going on now? Oh, all right. You guys still there?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Is that what really accelerated this was blogging. Blogging created a very simple way for people to get their message out and to find other people to blog with to create this dynamic where it started with email and it graduated to Instant Messenger and now blogging is basically what email used to be because you can track back to each other and you could send each other information much quicker. Where if you look at the technology back, you know, 2002, 2003, very difficult to do that. So when Blogger came in, which is just about 2003 before the 2004 election, you had a whole bunch of people all of a sudden. Now, I don't know, there's millions of blogs. And the thing is that what he's saying is that don't focus on your uniqueness necessarily. Focus on what's true for you so that you can get your message across to other people that share that same mentality, and then that creates community. And that is the open source paradigm. That's the ultimate in the Philo Eco bridge solidarity, for a better word. And that's where Port starts to use some of his secondary domains. He understood it had to be exified. We had to use the internet. We had to use an external system of communicating. I couldn't just go on my knee to knee. It's too slow. Then I figured out that I don't want to go by competition. I want to eco. I want to create a bigger community online than I could ever create on the ground. So I'm not going to be as competitive. I'm going to be more inclusive. I'm going to be more inviting. I'm going to use that permission marketing, that Seth Godin tool of letting people in and engaging them rather than bludgeoning them with fail, 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 kind of like we did to start the show. Fail, fail, fail. And then he's going to turn it around and he's going to say, okay, well, how do I unto this? Well, I'm going to appoint myself the leader of that movement. So in one fell swoop from 2003 to 2007, he got out of the Philo world of I'm going to subordinate myself and work myself up the ladder in the acting community. I'm going to subjugate myself to my clients and drive 80 miles round trip to the fitness centers and live in a dump in New York City hoping my dream comes true. I'm going to cut bait with that, and I'm going to use this pretty portable, pretty flexible set of technologies up on online, and I'm going to use the one thing that keeps me Philo, which is my voice. And I'm watching it fly out the door, left field, sorry. And as I'm going during the show. Yeah, 5-3 Mets, bottom of the fourth or fifth here. They had a 5-0 lead, by the way, so I'm chewing on the steering wheel driving over here. And by doing all those things, he creates a complete somatic circle. So now, because he got in ahead of the curve, he beat the dip, he became the one, he became the leader. And just like Seth Godin says, once you're the it guy, everybody else is going to be a distant second. It's like those top 10 flavors of ice cream. You think chocolate and vanilla are close. Vanilla is way ahead of chocolate. And the other nine, eight behind chocolate. So it's once you're the number one up that hill, that niche, that way of being in the world is filled by you. And he saw all this because he had a very great awareness of his Philo skills to people bond first, and then business bond second. And then he said, how can I accelerate this? I'll use the telephone, so it's low technology. You just got to dial into these teleconference calls. And then I'll use the web to distribute my products. I don't have to have a big staff. I can work from home, which is a big Philo thing. It's an eco thing, too, for a variety of reasons. And the other thing is that I could create a community that I don't have to maintain. People can come and go as they please, which is also extremely eco. So the open source mentality, the XO using the web, the Philo using the phone, and the Anto declaring himself the leader, that's what made him a Soma star. That's why when his book came out, instead of the publisher having to wonder if there was an audience, he could provide them evidence from his show, from his weekly show, Think Big Revolution, which is, you know, runaway bestseller, biggest business hour of the week for service providers. And now he becomes the Johnny Carson to interview the other people that are coming out with business books, like Timothy Ferris. Some started profile a couple weeks ago, who comes out with, you know, the 4-hour work week inside of the Think Big Revolution, because he became a big thinker from listening to Port Show. So now you have not only community, but you also have a vertical integration of, you know, okay, here it is over time, and here it is now. I'm getting this idea. So now Ferris starts on the top of the dip that Port climbs. So now he comes out, and he comes out with a book and gives you even more ways of getting out of the rat race. So you see how this is synergizing and working. Soma Star to Soma Star, they're creating a constellation amongst themselves. And now us down here in Soma Space are looking up at the stars and saying, okay, how do we navigate using the messages these guys are giving us? Because they're able to understand at a very other than conscious level, just because they understand themselves and who they are, what they are, to strip away what the social agenda would say and say, you know, this is what you have to do and you have to have a satellite clinic, and say, no. What are your unique skills as a human being? And now don't get so stuck in your uniqueness. Don't go off and separate yourself. Take that and plug into a bigger system, and then you as a person will grow, and so will the idea that you gave birth to, because the system is designed to spread ideas, good, bad, or indifferent. It's just you have to understand the rules of the road, and that's what Port understood, and that's why it's only him and a handful of others, just like there was only a handful of others before that were big fish. Now you've got him and three or four others that are out there doing this kind of thing and inspiring others to do the same. So that's his story in a nutshell. So just two takes on it. Val, we talked to Port, and you understand, as an eco, he can be just almost insufferably Philo. And so what would be your eco threshold for UGG when it comes to interacting with Port's material? Is it a 10 would be a puker, a 5 would be kind of a stomachache, and a 1 would be I could probably digest this if I had a day.
Probably somewhere between a 4 and a 5.
Okay. Yeah, he does get a little bit, queasy for my taste. But even the business calls.
Philo,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Even as a Philo, like, I find myself, when I initially hear his voice, I go, oh, yeah, I love his voice, and he draws me in. But then I do get... I guess it's, you know, my secondary domain, which is pretty strong ego, gets to where it's like, that's too much. Now I'm starting to get embarrassed. Like, if I think of myself being in that same position, and you know, when he says, like, amen, or when he says, and it's not just Michael doing it. The brilliant thing is he's able to do that And I think of, could I do that in the same position? But I just, it gets to be too much because then it's following that Onto formula of sort of manipulating the crowd. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, he's you know, it's only an 8-minute clip of an hour talk, but in that little clip I played there, he's talking about congruency and saying it isn't about copying a bunch of things that have worked, because that used to be the Me Too mentality of everyone would copy whatever the leader was doing, and they would get all these knockoffs, and people would buy it because they would just, you know, they were so, you know, basically schooled to be sheep. And he's saying that it doesn't matter if they steal everything you have, they're not you, and if it's not you. And this is the woo part of Port, because he's extremely woo when you tap twice, is that it won't last for them, and it won't stay with them, because it is not purely them. So the words you put next to your name and the words you put next to your products, if they're not completely reflective and genuine of what you're offering and what's inside the package, it's a boomerang effect. It's going to come back and bite you in the ass, and that's why he's saying, let them take it. It's not going to matter. You were the first one that had it anyway. So that whole intellectual property, put the pit bull on the lawn, you know, McDonald's suing these little kids for drawing McDonald's symbols, or the Olympic Committee coming at some kindergarten woman for putting an Olympic ring in her classroom. You know, that punitive mentality that was sort of the interruption marketing era, where everything was about protecting the brand, is sort of giving way to this open source model, where, especially on service providers, where it was much more about the genuineness of the actual service, not the artificial flavoring of the promotion. And much different than marketing, promotion is just about getting attention. It has nothing to do with sustaining it and nothing to do with delivering anything that the attention's promising. It's just about waking somebody up and saying, pay attention to me. And you're doing it in a marketplace that is just bombarding people with pay attention signals. And so what Port's saying is saying instead of trying to just interrupt people, engage them and invite them into a discussion with you, and then once they're there and you've built up a trust factor, then the credibility is there to go into the next step and make a sale. The only problem, as we've experienced with this, is the clock is ticking. So if you're going to build a business like this, in this model, you can't put a clock on it like you would if you were building a bricks-and-mortar business like Jeb and I had to do when we were basically left like orphans by the chiropractic profession once we got diplomas. Go ahead, have fun. Go do that practice thing and send us some alumni. You know, it was the strangest feeling in the world to go from, you know, the last couple of months of being in clinic to the first couple of months being in practice, where you're with your friends all the time at school, and you're sort of doing nothing the last year except wait to take boards. And then the next minute, you're like, wait a minute, I have to figure out how to run a business in like 3 months. And, you know, the whole trauma of, well, how do I do this? And then the practice management, the chicken hawks would come out. We can reach a practice jump started in 50 days. It was like, so all of us signed up with Whitney Management. Talk about Eli Whitney and the cotton gin. And, you know, he took a pittance for what the other guys were getting, but he took like $6,000 for about 20 of my friends and gave us, you know, a couple of weekends, these giant workbooks that meant nothing. And we would spend all weekend, like 8 hours a day, like 9 to 5, like going over all this business stuff. Not knowing what hello, and then he was gone. I remember the first day of his practice, I called him up because he had like this hotline, and he would answer the phone on his boat or his yacht, wherever the hell he was. And he would go, Doctor Whitney. And I go, Doctor Whitney, I'm Philippi. I'm over here in the White Plains. I'm on my first day. What do I do? And he goes, what do? Turn to page 35. And it was like, you're from 35 to page 42, and call me in a month. Click. They were like, what? This is $6,000 for this. So there was a lot of that going on because, like I said, it was a cookie-cutter era. It was a do-like situation. So there was no sense that you were unique or you had any specific talents or goals or even qualities that you would want to accentuate. And it didn't work. Everybody was just copying everybody else. So you weren't able to get any of the resonance he was talking about, the authenticity he was talking about, even though we're all giving the same basic message. Very strange.
But you're separate and distinct.
But we kept getting told that, yes. Separate and distinct from all the
separate
successful
distinct,
people.
But you have to all be the same.
I didn't say it was, it was a clear message, but it was a loud one. And then you had to have chiro passion. Otherwise, you were a fag. So, yeah, that was
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, right. Yeah. Yeah. You could tell all those guys at the Mexican the restaurant that we trashed. Oh, my God. Sometimes my chiropractic background, it's almost like a Vietnam experience for business-wise for me, because it was such a an intense world to just go from Davenport, Iowa for 40 months to White Plains in Westchester. And, of course, I was working with the self-described biggest whore in Westchester. That's what he told me when I signed the one-year contract. And he was proud of it, giggling, tapping his pinky ring on the glass table. And I kept saying to Anna at the time, I'm like, at any point, this guy turns around and starts playing piano or something, like, you know, like a vampire, I'm leaving. He looked like it, like a little frog head. And I did this Get Out of Pain week. The first month I was in practice, I saw more human debris in a week. These were free exams. Get Out of Pain week, and we had a raffle for a trip to Hawaii. I don't know, this is like, you couldn't make this up in a sitcom. He had a travel agent as a client, he had a hotel person as a client, he had an airline person as a client. And he could get out of pain week for the kid. Get out of pain week for the kid. I did like, I don't know, 75, 80 free exams. And the person that won it couldn't fly because they had an air condition. So they gave him a rent a car to drive like wherever he wanted for like a year. I just can't make it up. Anyway. All right, so let's see.
Our number is.
Yeah. On that note, if you want to get a call in before the top of the hour, it is 646-478-4847. And so, in summing up, talking about Port there for a minute, if you compare him to the other two that we've profiled so far, last week we had Ken Wilber, who was a career author who merged with the internet and started using his skills as more so as an onto, as sort of a true believer. Than anything else. Of course, you mentioned Tim Ferriss, the eco, who systematically deprogrammed the web to escape the rat race. What would you say is the common thread between the three of them so far? Either one of you guys.
Well, they all went from bricks and mortar to... Well, they're all open soma. They were all able to...
Yeah, that's the end result. But what's the common theme
in
terms of their personality? How did they get there? Because for me, the common theme is they all hit a wall. They're all good at what they did at a certain point. Like, Ferriss was good as a business guy. He had a business running, but his time was basically all consumed in working his business. See, he had a business that was making $40,000 a month, but he had no life. So he hit a wall. Port hit a wall. What he was doing between, you know, slingshotting back and forth from Manhattan to Delaware Water Gap to run these fitness centers. Wilber hit a wall in the sense that how many books can he write, and how many of his students can become Tony Robbins and people like that and become uber successful with his message? And that was an ego wall he hit. And he realized that he could not fit in the crowd of transpersonal psychologists and people like this and function. So he created integral psychology out of nowhere and said, I'm going to declare this as my mountain, and I'm going to climb it. And he literally lived on a mountain, and he stuck a flag in it. Yeah, he stabbed Mike Murphy and a couple other guys in the process, but, you know, he's an Exxon. That was part of the, you know, you're going to make an omelet, you're going to crack a few eggs. And they all became his friends because he built, similar to Port, he built a community that was going to allow people to thrive within it, come and go as they please, as long as he was the leader. And as an Exo, he's sort of a suggestive, silent sort of omnipresence rather than a screaming shrill. I know. And we haven't pointed the compass at the Antos yet in terms of the Summer Stars. We'll do that next week. I'm not sure who we're going to pick, but that will complete the trip around the Summer Circle, looking at these different stars, and we'll see where we take it from there in terms of giving you guys an impression that there are a lot of people out there that are under the radar, behind the rock, maybe across the street from you, that are living the Summer Star lifestyle, and you're not aware of it. And the tools are there. Like I said, the more examples we give you, but it does involve hitting a certain wall that your primary domain can only take you so far. It doesn't do everything for you. It only gets you started. Your whole life is about opening up into the secondary domains, the supportive ones that weren't natural to you, that you only acquire through experience. And, you know, experience is a really just a rough teacher. So So why not learn from the experience of other people first, so that you can notice it? What the trajectory that Port took was pretty quick, but the trajectory that Ferris took learning from Port was much quicker. So the people that learn from Ferris are even going to be quicker than that. Pretty soon it's going to be a straight line up. You know, as long as people understand the paradigm and they understand that they cannot stay separate, unique, closed, and sort of in that old mentality of make myself the only person in the room and then everyone's going to sit around and adore me. It isn't like that. It's put yourself, Mitch Yost had to get back in the game, part of the Journal of Cincinnati. Everyone has to get back into this game of sharing their strengths rather than trying to protect their weak spots. And that's ultimately what creates this organic community that we see rising up all around us faster than we can pretty much track it. So, all right, so let's see. I don't think there's any calls yet, but I will check. I don't see anything.
No.
Okay. So we're going to do a couple of things before I get to the SomaScope. By the way, if you guys haven't noticed it, you go to somaspace.org. We've got a couple of new things up there. We mentioned Val's coaching, and I'm going to be messing around with that site for the next couple of weeks. So if you see the site changing on a daily basis, just bear with us. We are attempting to communicate a very, very solemn and very sacred truth with our limited resources and meager minds. But what we want is a lot more feedback. I know we've asked for it a lot on the show. We've done this show since, tail end of May. And, we've really needed to get some sense of, if you're listening to it, just tell us why. We want to know what we want to put on the show. We want to know how to make the show more enjoyable for you and give you more to go on. So, again, check in the blog with Port here. Just want to do one quick thing with that. In his final face for some reason right now. I just saw that. I want to punch him. He did a podcast interview on his show recently with Tim Ferriss. So if you want a 2-for-1, check that out, because that is completely what we want to see in this community is people we've identified as Soma Stars somehow finding each other, because that creates that next level where they start to become a constellation. And they start to actually feed off each other. And then it makes it easier for us to navigate down here, because now we can watch the flocking behavior between these two these circles are going to start to touch. And just seeing that made me happy to find that as I was profiling him. So anyway, on his last blog entry, Port's talking about a reality check. And it was an interesting little stat, 2,000 executives and middle managers, right? Trying to get a picture of the future, right? And he said that the one shocking stat was 90% of the respondents thought they were in the top 10% of the performers. Okay, so 80%, of course, were kidding themselves, and that's what he's trying to. I guess what he's trying to get at there is that your self perception is not as accurate as when you start getting feedback and start to whittle that away. So don't assume that your data is complete. As it were, and he's a humbling guy, Port, because he gives you information like that, and you go, oh, I guess that makes me think twice about where I stand, because what you're using to evaluate yourself with, if you're just going on your standards, if you're just going on your code, and you're not getting it measured in the world, it sort of doesn't count, and that's what this survey really pointed out to me, and the comment he got back
as fantastic as we think we are. And as fantastic as you all know that we probably are,
mm-hmm.
Feedback is valuable because that will tell us exactly.
Yeah, without your feedback, we don't know. We're just hoping we're doing a good job for you guys. And the only way we can measure it is that we look at the archive numbers and you guys are still listening, so we're still here. But the comment he got back was, he says, I think the statement we judge ourselves by our best intentions and others by their actions applies here. Our ego will simply not allow us to believe we are mediocre despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary. And that is definitely evident in this show tonight. So let's see. So nothing there. Okay. Just double-checking that. All right. I guess I'll start ambling over to the SomaScopes and take a look at what's happening next week. We are, as I said, winding down the summer. The somatic summer ends on Labor Day, September 3rd. So next week we are just amping up to the big full moon on the 28th, and I think that's tonight. I'm not sure. But just correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the night of that crazy syzygy thing that George was telling me about?
What the full moon is August 28th at 6:37 in the morning.
Yeah, and there's some crazy thing going on there, right?
Yep.
And we'll talk about that because there is a lot of the end of any season. There's a lot of things going on, but the end of this particular lunar cycle with the full moon coming up, there is a conjunction of the domains. I just wanted to get that out to you as a forewarning because we'll be delving into it a little more next week as we get closer to the full moon. But like I said, this is the last cycle.
Can you explain why Labor Day is the end of the Semitic summer?
Yeah, because again, all the moon phases that work with this model are always basically kind of juxtaposed the week before. So what happens is that it always ends on an eco, and it always starts on an exo. So the cycle goes exo, philo, onto, eco, which the lunar cycle starts on the new moon, where the eco phase ends on the new moon. So we're always like a week behind or so, and that's the way the 12-week cycle goes. So it's like you got 52 weeks in a year, but you only got 48 weeks of doing the Sematic calendar because it doesn't go by the calendar week. It goes by the lunar cycle. So some of these are 8-day weeks, some of them are 9, some of them are 6. They're all over the map. So that's why we end up on the 3rd because we started back, in the middle of June there, before we got to summer solstice there. Let me just see if I can find.
But it's just before, so it ends on the 3rd, which is the last day is the last day of the first quarter moon.
Yeah. Before we even get to the end of that lunar cycle per se, we get to the end of the Sematic summer. We start getting ready for fall. Like I'll start doing my fall evals on the 4th, which is a prep time. So that's how that works. Let's see if I can find. There it is. Clicked on the wrong one. All right. So, on August 28th at 6:35 in the morning, it will be a full moon, which ends the Anto week, right? And then why is it significant? Well, at 5:53, there's a total lunar eclipse, right?
Yep.
So right there is an exophilo-temporal border, and then the eco starts the next day. Domain saturation. So this is called a state of minor syzygy, where the sun, the moon, and the earth are all in alignment. So there's a lot of tidal forces around the 28th. So circle that day to hide in terms of the somascopes because the only one that escapes, of course, is the exo, who doesn't care because it's the cosmos, so it can absorb anything. So looking again at next week, we're just going to be getting into, on the 22nd, just going to be getting into the Anto week. So we're going to be shifting from our vulnerable and frail and receptive philoness and all people-based and ooey kinesthetic to the visionary vital force of the Anto. So the whiplash you'll be experiencing by the time we get on the air next week will be from the time, like the feeling you get when you get out of the shower and you're just kind of pink and wonderful, to when that first, breeze hits you when you go outside in a rainstorm and just kind of shocks you out of your webs, your cobwebs of your head. So next week will literally be just like when you get to the end of any season. You get an introduction to the next one. So a little nip in the air emotionally next week, a little more edge to people, a little more sharpness. We're going to start getting those back-to-school ads. I'm starting to make a little bit of a tom-tom in my head. I'm starting to see them everywhere. So the energy is going to become much more formalized and much more conceptually sharp, let's just call it. And don't believe what I'm watching here. It's 5-4, another error. So look for that next week as far as that beginning. It's going to intensify all the way up to this big syzygy thing on the 28th, but it's going to start next week. So we're going to be transitioning from a philo week at the beginning of the week to an onto at the middle, and then all the way up until the 28th before it comes to fruition. So it's a slow, steady climb from here to the 28th to get there. So the only domain that's going to be able to make this shift successfully and easily is, of course, going to be the onto, because they're the ones that are driving the bus. But the other three are going to go through a lot of shifts around it, because especially the philos, who are going to feel really supported, and then all of a sudden it's going to be like almost like when you go when a baby goes from just crawling and creeping to trying to stand, and they fall a lot. And when you fall alone. So there's going to be a lot of feeling of wow, I'm all really all alone here. It's temporary, but it's extremely abrupt. And like I said, the only one that's not going to feel too much noise is going to be the exos, because they're containing all this. And that's what their job is to sort of be the receptacle for all these different things, all these different dynamics. So as the summer comes to an end, which is an Anto season, we have an Anto week coming up. So it's usually the last big punch of any season is when you get into that week of that season's arc, and that's coming up starting on the 21st next week. So there's your Somascopes, and we'll turn it over to Jeb for his tip of the week.
Tip of the week is, since we're just coming off a Philo week, and now you've listened to the show, when you're on your, during this Anto week, as we're climbing up this new cosmic ladder, just be aware of, just start identifying people who you think are Philos, and then relate to them, because that's what we like. So again, like I said last week, the only way you can start to really understand this stuff, understand that you are just in it and you aren't actually it. In other words, Philos just spend more time in that Philo domain. If you can start to identify them and start to relate to them, you'll see how easy it is to do that. And then when you try to do the same thing with Anato, you'll find that it's not quite so easy. So this is, you know, my tip of the week is sort of become an experiential of the week, because this stuff has to be experienced. I can't give you like a quick tip, but you've got to go out and experience it. So that's the tip of the week.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That was good. All right. So we're going to send it over to Val. She's got a quote and a song apparently for us this week. So why don't you do the quote first?
Okay. Well, I thought I would do a Michael Port quote.
Okay.
Be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity and say only what you mean. Now, there's a Philo version of a sentence that I'm going to give you now from Eco David Milk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can do a little comparison here. I can make myself understood at the sacrifice of truth. The challenge is to make oneself understood and try simultaneously to stay true to oneself with the deeper truth of experience.
Damn, Eco's are complicated.
They are very complicated.
God, I just got exhausted doing that. Okay.
That's right. So as we're leaving here today, we'll say our goodbyes, and then I'm going to play a couple seconds of a song tribute to John from Cincinnati, which is no longer on the air.
Well, that show, like I said, I don't know if any of you guys watched that show, but the blogosphere was full of a lot of unsolicited reviews and comments, and it was a transcendental show for a bunch of an audience that basically is not into transcending. That's why they like Entourage much more than they like this. So unfortunately, we get more Entourage, which isn't a bad show, but we lose a great show like John that will be maybe resurfacing on a DVD maybe by Christmas time. So I guess on that somber little eco-casualty note, we'll bid bye to the Philo week, and we'll see you guys next week for Ontification. This is Dr. Mark for Professor Val and Dr. Jeb. Travel light through the darkness. And hit it, Gene. There you go. Sing along at home. I don't think Jeb's seen one episode yet.
No.
No? No
HBO.
Yeah, no HBO up there in the Syrup Country. And maybe this time next week we'll be talking about some babies.
Yeah, I'm sure that we will be talking about it this next
week. Yeah. This song's appropriate then.
From the well, locked in the factory.